Speaking of striking books, we're about to meet the fascinating winner of this year's the Australian Vogels Literary Award. That was announced last night. Catherine Braben is the person concerned. She's the recipient of this. The award, of course, given to the best unpublished manuscript by a writer under 35. And the parade of past winners is very impressive. Tim Winton, Kate Grenville, Gillian Mears, Brian Castro, Mandy Sayer and Andrew McGann. So if that's an indication, there's a huge literary future ahead for Catherine. She won with her book The Memory Artist. It's a novel about shared memories set in Russia during the Glasnost era of the late 1980s. And Catherine is here this morning. Catherine, good morning. And congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you.
Very exciting. Now, you've actually known about this for 7 months and have kept stum about it.
That's right. Yep. I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement on the day and then I started editing so that it was ready to publish on the day of the announcement.
Oh, so everybody's no doubt sending you very good wishes.
Yes.
You were born in Melbourne in the late 1980s. How on earth did you come to write a novel about Russian dissenters at the end of the USSR?
Good question. Well, I was interested in Russia at the end of high school studying Russian revolutions, and I followed that through university and my undergraduate degree doing Russian history, and then decided I would go there. So I spent a few weeks in St. Petersburg in a very hot summer in 2010 learning the language, and then progressed to doing a master's in history over in England. And then I got to a point where I was researching a lot about the dissident culture and from the 60s to the 80s. And then I was interested in how by the 90s that had sort of petered out, really, because everyone was sort of more focusing on the economic struggle of the 90s in Russia and post-Soviet countries by then. And memory became sort of a luxury. And I thought, oh, there's an amazing story here about the dissidents who really did fight to preserve the memory of the violence of the Stalin years and the repressions and sort of continued censorship that went right up and unfortunately to this day.
Well, I wonder. In fact, I've just realised I've not seen whether there's an overlap between the dissenters of that era and the dissenters against Putin now.
Well, yeah, the sort of a few of the dissenters do make reference to the sort of the 60s, the 70s and 80s and the issues that are sort of still happening in Russia are very much sort of echoes of this entire legacy, and I've been interested in the what I sort of see as the passage or trajectory of memory across the decades and the generations, and how depending on who's in power, it's been a few times of sort of discussion of the violence of the Stalin era.
How do you recover as a nation from the extraordinary, I mean, the China's got exactly the same dilemma, just like ongoing, unbelievable levels of violence perpetrated, which have never really been discussed, which is clearly what, you know, intrigued you.
Yeah.
Does a nation recover or not?
I'm not sure. It's a slower novel, and it doesn't aim for resolution. I wasn't searching for a kind of, I mean, there is a sense of hope in some aspects, but in others there's not. And I also have a narrator who doesn't know everything and doesn't feel like everything's tied up with answers, because
so
it's
they
not.
Live with ambiguity.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what I find very interesting. I mean, how did you know when to stop researching? Because you must have had your moments of insecurity and as a Melbourne girl looking at this. I mean, you know, people have spent whole lifetimes researching this.
Absolutely. I had a sort of a broad factual knowledge of Russia in that time, but then it got to a point where I had to put that aside, and I couldn't have that sitting right with me when I wanted to sort of represent what literature can do, and which is sort of a more emotional truth or personal representation. And
but so why didn't you go the non-fiction route if it interests you so much and you are an historian?
Well, I did my dissertation, and then I felt that there was something, I kind of had come as far as I could in terms of what I was conveying, and I felt this huge sense of kind of almost disillusionment, and I had a sense of the loss and that the frustration that might have been felt by dissidents whose story was still not quite told and represented. And I just had this kind of more of an aesthetic desire, I suppose. And it's interesting to me to interrogate that in myself. Why did I turn to fiction? Why do we turn to art at all?
Right. So what do you mean? You mean you got to a point where you thought, I do know a lot, but I'm not satisfied with the way this is being expressed?
Yeah, by myself, yeah. But the way I've expressed it, I suppose, I wanted to sort of be able to tell this story in another way. And for me, that's fascinating that I did turn to literature myself. I'm still sort of looking at that and kind of in awe as well, because I realised that this was the way I felt that I could tell a certain truth,
I
suppose.
And you hadn't imagined that beforehand.
No.
And you didn't feel overwhelmed or that, you know, you were, repatriating someone else's story. I mean, this is quite a big issue at the moment.
I did definitely have times when I, did feel overwhelmed and thinking, can I tell this story? And there's an interesting question, or is it mine to tell? But then I also thought, well, I want to tell it, and that should mean something as well. I feel that I want to, and it's there. So I sort of at the same time felt that I thought I could contribute something with it.
Well, you created this vivid, for instance, Russian childhood for your narrator.
Yes.
I wonder what you drew on there. I do wonder about your personal inspiration in all of this.
Yeah, I think I loved writing from Pasha, my narrator's childhood, because childhood you can really draw on kind of those vivid things that you just cling to with in your memories. For example, attachment to certain things in the house. Like for Pasha, it's sort of the radio and remembering certain sort of objects of furniture and the people who came through. And it's a way to build a world, because a novel has to build a believable world. And for me, it was to get in as close to Pasha's kind of mind and consciousness as I could. And that was really creating memories for him and creating things that I would feel nostalgic about. So I drew on what I think anyone can kind of relate to in that sense.
And look, because I haven't had a chance, in fact, we're all sort of, I think there's a little battle for who's going to take the book home, because it's only just been published. But I mean, that in terms of Pasha's fate, living in a nation with such an extraordinary tradition, so unlike by and large Australia's, how do people live with those ambiguities? What was your conclusion? I know you say you weren't looking for a neat conclusion, but what's your sense of, say, how young people in modern Russia are living?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think Pasha's from a generation that was sort of the last Soviet generation, and so there is definitely a sort of a sense of disillusionment, that there was a sense of hope in the Glasnost era, and then this kind of it petered out. And so the novel begins in 1999, just on the cusp of when Putin comes to power. And for young Russians today, I think there is still a sense of detachment from the political structures today, and just a sense of, well, we don't, it's not sort of, not necessarily passive, but just, well, that's, there's not a sense of feeling like they can engage and have any kind of role themselves. That's right, yeah.
The waiting in Russia.
Yeah.
And I gather the next novel for you might be Japan, which is another set of memories altogether.
Yes, yes.
Look, congratulations, Catherine, The Memory Artist, and enjoy this particular triumph.
Thanks very much.
Catherine Braben, the winner of the Australian Vogels Literary Award for her novel, The Memory Artist, announced last night.